Welcome to St. John's United Church of Christ.
We're a church which opens its arms to the leadership and participation of the LGBT plus community.
All are welcome here.
More than welcome here. This is home. We belong.
Let's pray together. God of wisdom, we need your wisdom today. As we draw nearer to you, let us also draw nearer to her. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you all remember a newspaper column called Ann Landers? Anybody? Or maybe Dear Abby. They were twin sisters, did you know that? Esther Pauline and Pauline Esther, Jewish ladies in competition. I loved that column when I was a kid. I would run outside to get the newspaper out of the box and sit down to read the two most important parts of the entire paper, the comics and Ann Landers. And I used to love to read Ann Landers, not just to be entertained, but because it gave us this opportunity to peek into the homes of our neighbors and see what was happening in their lives. All those things that we keep hidden. We don't let anybody know. We don't let people see. People wrote to Ann Landers to ask for her advice, and we could see what was happening in their lives, and we could read her answers. And sometimes we would critique her answers. We might have a better answer, and we don't know why she came out of left field like that. She should have never said that. It was a great moment of just happiness for me as a child to try to figure out where Ann Landers went wrong. Now, every week people wrote in with questions like, my child is gay. What do I do? My finances are a wreck. How can I climb out of this hole? My husband loves our puppy more than he loves me. What should I do? I'm just making these up. We loved reading those questions, and we loved seeing those answers. Now, why do people write to people like Ann Landers? Because we all need some help. Sometimes we all need some help. We need some wisdom. We need some everyday practical advice to help us live better. And that, as Christians, is complicated by wanting to not only live well, but to do what God wants us to do. So we not only want practical advice, but we also want to know what God wants us to do. And that is exactly what the book of Sirach is about. Jim read for us the chapter on wisdom, but that entire book is a collection of proverbs of how to live life better and how to live life in a way that pleases God. Now, it also is not a book that you commonly find in your Bible. It's called an apocryphal book. There's a collection of books that did not make the cut into the Jewish scriptures, what we call our Old Testament, and also is not included in our New Testament because of its date. This book was actually written 200 years before Christ, and it was written specifically to the Jewish people in Jerusalem who were trying to hang on to their cultural identity in the face of Hellenization, which is just a fancy way of saying they were being Greekified. The Greek language was coming in. The Greeks were taking over. The culture was changing. Their customs were changing. And they wanted to hang on to who they were as the people of the God of Israel. And so Sirach wrote all of these proverbs, and it reads just like the answers to an Ann Landers column. Should I spank my child? Yes, Sirach would say. Is education important? What do I do if my wife won't do what I tell her to do? Or what should I do about this problem I'm having with my neighbor? Sirach addresses all of those kinds of issues for the Jewish people to help them hang on to their Jewish identity and their culture in the face of Greek colonization. Now, there are two premises for Sirach that I think are important that we should note. The book is based on these two ideas. One is that wisdom is a divine gift from God. Wisdom comes directly from God for us as a gift. And second, the God of Israel is the God of us all. So whatever we have, Whatever wisdom we've gotten from God, it is our responsibility to share it with the world. Now, Sirach tells us in this chapter, if you were listening, you heard that wisdom has a female voice, and you heard that wisdom lives in Jerusalem. Now, I don't have any problem with wisdom having a female voice. You know, I kind of enjoy that. I play on my own team, so it was okay with me. But it's important for us to think about it a little bit differently because we tend to use masculine words to define God. God is Father, King, Shepherd, Lord. Those are all masculine terms, and we forget that they are metaphors. So instead of God being like a father, we begin to think God is a father, that God is a man. So when we hear that wisdom has this feminine voice, it broadens our understanding of God, that wisdom comes directly from the source, from God, and she is characterized as female. I like that a lot. But I didn't like this address for wisdom, that God looked over all of the world and gave wisdom to Jerusalem. Now, I think we have to be careful here, because I often tell you don't take these writings literally, because they are poetry and prose and literature. And so I think what Sirach is telling us here is that wisdom doesn't live in Jerusalem, but that she lives in community, that we find wisdom in the voices of many. Ann Landers didn't answer all those letters by herself. She had a whole team of experts and consultants that she talked to before she wrote her column. One person is not going to hold all the wisdom. We often think of a guru, a very skinny, emaciated person with a long beard sitting alone at the top of a mountain, and we think that person has wisdom. And they may, but they don't have it all. Wisdom resides in the community, and that is why church is relevant, because we need each other, because no one has all the right answers. We need a place where we're safe to wonder, to be curious, to ask our questions, and to reach out for help. Now let's remember that wisdom is not knowledge. Knowledge is part of wisdom. One commentary that I read said this: wisdom is not information or knowledge or even experience, although all three combine to contribute to wisdom. Think about the game show Jeopardy on TV. Anybody watch Jeopardy? Ken Jennings and his historic win, and there's others who have won tremendous amounts of money. But what shocks me every time I watch that show is how these folks can regurgitate all of these facts. It's incredible that they know that much data, that much information, but that does not make them wise. It just makes them people who have a great memory. Now, when I watch that show, if I get two questions right, I'm feeling pretty brilliant. Maybe I could get three, but generally I can't get more than that. Or I have sort of an idea, kind of, I think I know the answer, and then of course the person says the answer. It's not wisdom to know all those facts, to be able to regurgitate all of that data. Wisdom doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be eloquent. It can be common sense. It helps us live a better life, one that pleases us and God. Let me give you a very practical example that came to my mind. When I was a little girl, sitting around the Christmas Eve dinner table, my Aunt Teresa lit two beautiful taper candles because she liked everything to be very pretty and perfect. But my brothers were taking their fingers and running them through the flame. And I was amazed by this. It was like Moses at the burning bush. Their fingers were in the fire, but they weren't burning. And I wanted to try it too, but I wasn't brave enough to risk my finger. So I jumped up on my chair, and before anyone could stop me, I grabbed my paper napkin and I ran it through the flames. And in about 1 second, I had a torch at the end of my skinny little arm. And before my mother could even fully inhale to scream, my dad grabbed my hand and dunked everything right in my glass of milk. He didn't have to say a word, my dad. He just calmed everybody down. Wisdom doesn't have to be fancy. The best part of that story, by the way, is that my brothers got in trouble and I didn't. Wisdom is not certain. It's not rigid. It is open and flexible and wondering and curious and willing to change as the times change. That's why Sirach was writing, because the Jewish people, their culture was evaporating. The world was changing so quickly for them. They needed some practical advice. How do we be Jewish in the midst of all of these Greek people and their Greek influence? That's what wisdom does. Wisdom stays current. Wisdom changes over time. It's much like faith, because faith is filled with questions and doubts. A faith without doubt would frighten me. I think it's important to ask questions, to be open, to wonder, to be willing to rethink those thoughts we've thought for so many years. That's why we need books like Sirach. And that's why people write to Ann Landers. And wherever else they find their information now, probably podcasts or online forums, or heaven help those who get their advice from Facebook, but I know there are a few that do that. We all need help. And the church can be that community that holds the wisdom of God, that carries that wisdom. And we can all get our help here. So the bottom line is that wisdom's address is not in Jerusalem. It's in community, and not just Christian community. Wisdom resides in the community of humankind. Buddha has many quotes about wisdom. Rumi has quotes about wisdom. Jesus, or our Bible rather, says this: "Let us know Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Wisdom lives right here, right in our community. Now today, I want you to be Ann Landers. We had a message come in on our phone this week in the office. And to protect that person, I'm not going to tell you exactly what that message said, but I want to invite you to think about it. It was a young voice. And the message said this: "Hi, my name is, and I have a disease. I was told that being gay is a sin, so I need to know, how do I get rid of it? My mom told me not to tell anyone, because it's bad." So, community of faith, wisdom lives in you. How do we respond? I responded with questions. How old is this child? Is it okay for me to talk to this child without his parents' knowledge? Is that even ethical? Are there counselors at her school that might help? What school does this child go to? What's the number for our local LGBTQ services? Would this child perhaps hurt herself? How can we, as a church, make it known in our community that your sexual orientation is not a disease? That it's not a sin? And can we, as a community of faith, do we know our scripture well enough to be able to make that point to someone who believes it is a sin? Do we need to educate ourselves more? How do we as a church educate our community? How can we make it known that God is a God of love and that that love is for all. How do we make it known that that family would be welcome here in this church and that we would support them? How do we reach this one who reached out for help? Church, how will you respond? I invite you to think about that, to talk to one another, and to let me know your thoughts. Amen. Let's go in peace. Our service has ended. Thank you all for being here.